Which character in the long-running television series Doctor Who can change form, allowing them to be played by a different actor? Well, yes, obviously the Doctor, but also the Master. Yes, the Doctor's Gallifreyan brother from another mother, himself a Time Lord, can also regenerate and has. He can also be a she, by the way. USQ popular culture researcher Dr. Marcus Harms grew up watching The First Master, played by Roger Delgado, and has just released a biography called I Am Usually Referred To As The Master. Marcus, good morning.
Good morning, Spencer. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. When was Roger Delgado The Master? Take us back in time.
All right. So it was actually really towards the end of his life, which was sadly cut short. He died aged 55 in 1973, and he was playing the Master in 1973. So he played him from 1971 to 73, and that's an era when the actor John Pertwee was playing the Doctor. Not the one in the long scarf, the one before the one in the long scarf. John Pertwee wore lots of velvet and frills.
The one with the yellow car.
The one with the yellow car, the little roadster called Bessie, that's exactly right, and the companion Joe Grant, who of course is Katie Manning, who has been a long-time resident of Australia.
Correct. So, and at that point, just to sort of flesh this out a little bit more, the Doctor had been banished to Earth, so
that's
all
right.
Just about all the storylines were set on Earth, but also the Master there seemed to be in just about every story as well, didn't he? This was a thing that obviously was a success. Roger's screen presence was working for the show.
It was a success, and it sort of wasn't. It was a great success for the character and sort of, in a way, less of a success for the actor himself because he wasn't permanently in the show. He was often in the show, but other directors and producers and agents and so on thought that he was permanently in the show, and he had been a very prolific actor. And he unexpectedly found work starting to dry up because people thought he wasn't available. So his character was a great success, almost, you could say, too successful professionally for Roger.
Which often happens, I suppose. People do get typecast, don't they?
And they do get typecast. And in Roger's case, if people don't know him, if you just Google Roger Delgado and all the pictures in Google will appear, and you'll see he did tend to play certain types. He was half Spanish, half Belgian. He had a very neat little goatee beard, and he turns up on 1950s, 60s, and 70s television almost always as the baddie.
What was it about
types?
So, what was it about him then that had you sitting in your office here at University of Southern Queensland thinking this guy needs a biography written about him?
I was literally. As a matter of fact, it wasn't my idea. My sister was sitting in her office somewhere else. She also works for USQ. And she emailed me and said, by the way, did you remember that 2018 is the centenary of his birth? Why don't you write his biography? And it just sort of flowed from there. I approached a publisher. They said yes. And I got to work.
Tell us about his pre-Doctor Who career then. Because the thing is, because the Doctor Who stuff came at the end of his career.
Very end, that's right.
That probably contributed to people remembering him absolutely, mostly, almost singularly as the Master. But he was in his 50s when he started the role. So what did he do beforehand?
He did everything. He started acting in about 1939 in repertory theatre, which was a very long-standing professional experience for actors. It meant you did a different play every week. So you just had to have the most phenomenal memory. You would know your current lines, and then you'd have to simultaneously be learning your lines for the next week's show. He started in television in 1948, which is incredibly early in that medium. I mean, television only really took off just before World War II. Then the war stopped it, and then it came back after the war. And so, of course, a lot of his early career was live television, which I think must have been the most terrifying thing to do. And, of course, the sad thing there is that because it's live, there's nothing left. You know, he's like many other actors of his generation, including the first two actors to play Doctor Who, in that there are these huge archival gaps. You know, it's one of the saddest things about television. There are these huge bits missing.
Yes.
But he did everything. He did film, he did television. But as I say, normally, not always, but normally the baddie. He was almost always a villain. He was a wicked Spaniard in huge numbers of productions. He just turned up everywhere. You can still, if you watch something like Gem or any of those channels that repeat old films, you'll probably see his face turn up.
After he died, and he died in a car crash.
He did, alas, yes. Yeah, in Turkey.
Were they filming was it a film about cars?
It was. It was a French television series about Citroëns racing across the world in the 1930s, and he played a small part in that, and ironically did die, and it's a tragic irony, but died in a car accident during the production.
So it took some years then, didn't it, for the Doctor Who writers to work out what to do about that? I mean, he was a Time Lord, so they could have just had him regenerate, because they'd already done that a couple of times before with the main actor. Mm-hmm. But they really did, because they had a couple of sort of deformed mid-regeneration versions before they settled on Anthony Ainley, that the next generation know as the Master.
And it's almost a decade's gap, 73 to 81. And yeah, as you say, in the meantime, they had a couple of actors very heavily disguised, looking like sort of rotten medieval monks or something like that. But yeah, it was a difficult decision because I think he'd been so impactful. You know how one actor can sort of define a role. And I think to an extent, ever since then, any actor to play the Master has had to either follow the Roger Delgado template or try to do something totally reactively different against the Roger
Anthony,
Delgado.
Anthony Ainley was, I mean, they just had him looking like Delgado, didn't they?
They did.
A younger version of, same goatee. When John Sim came along, that was when it kind of changed.
It did, but then I guess that's a reactive change. And I think now that we've had Missy, because as you said in your intro, the Master has become a lady before the Doctor did, there was actually, I think, a lot of Delgado in Missy. One of the early writers in the show, Terence Dick, said there was surface change, but underneath that, the Missy performance, I thought, was pretty close to the mannerisms and the characterization of Roger Delgado.
All right, as someone who has watched the show myself for many years, I feel I'm on the precipice of going too nerdy, so I'm going to stop.
I know.
I really want to talk to you about. Oh, look, you know what? I'm going to ask you the question. So when the Master was sort of in that period between Delgado and Ainley, and they were sort of, deformed, hidden sort of characters, two actors played the role, and the writers made it that it was he'd used up all his regenerations. And that were, at that point, they created the rule, didn't they, that a Time Lord could only have 12 lives or 12 regenerations.
12 regenerations, 13 lives.
So do you, and of course that then has come back to bite them in the last few years where they've had to sort of rewrite the rule because the Doctor got to that point. Do you reckon that they had any idea in the 70s where they were up to the fourth Doctor that by coming up with that rule they were going to eventually create a problem for themselves? I just don't think that they would have ever imagined it going that long that they would be 12 actors playing Doctor Who.
No, I don't think so either. I guess with Doctor Who, it was just renewed year after year, but there was no sort of sense of permanence. It was a decision made every year. And it's funny, if you look behind the scenes, there were times in its original run when it came really close to cancellation until it finally disappeared in 1989. So I don't think anyone could have guessed that they would run out of doctors because it really was on the skids at times. It nearly didn't come back in colour and it nearly disappeared in the mid-80s and then it did disappear. So I think they must have thought they'd have plenty of slack.
Yes. I'd love to be able to go back and just to that writer's table when they're trying to work out what the number is. Do we make it 35? Do we make it, and they come up with 12.
They should have made it 42.
Yeah, there we are. There we go. I guess, finally, I just wonder whether you've had any reaction from Roger Delgado's family to the book.
It's from friends, yes, from colleagues. Roger's widow very sadly died very recently. She passed away in her late 80s. He was an only child, and he had no children.
Mm. Was the widow aware you were writing the book?
She was, and I did receive a lovely message from her wishing me all the best for it. And as she was in her late 80s. That's Kismet Delgado, and keen-eyed viewers, if you've ever watched John Pertwee's Last Story, will know that she's an actress too, because she voiced one of the monsters.
Were they spiders? Was that the last story
that's
of his?
Planet of the Spiders? That's right.
Was she a spider?
She was.
Was she the big spider?
She wasn't the big spider. I know this is getting uber nerdy, yeah. But she was one of them.
Okay, all right. Yeah, let's pull up right there. Where's the book available from, Marcus?
Anywhere you like. From the publisher itself is called Phantom Films, FANTOM, but it's on Amazon and Booktopia and Foils, Wordsmiths. Any online bookstore has it in stock at the moment.
Excellent. Roger Delgado, I'm usually referred to as the master.
That's right. Best known line.
Dr. Marcus Harms, University of Southern Queensland Popular Culture Researcher. Great to have you on the program this morning to give me an excuse to talk about Doctor Who. Thank you for writing the book.
As if we need one. That's right. But thank you so much, Spencer.
All right, take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
And here's that marvellous little clip again that I played before of Roger Delgado as the monster. Such a beautiful comic. It's only 10 seconds, maybe 12 seconds. Just have a listen to this.
Look! That must be them. No other ship would be on a course for Earth at a time like this.
We're on a course for Earth.
Well, naturally, because we're chasing them. Oh, keep quiet and let me think.